Lord, what a thing to be able to sing. We delight in your goodness and we receive your grace. Lord, I know that for some of us, and sometimes in our life, it's hard to receive your grace. We get weird thoughts that God maybe don't want to be gracious to us, that we've gone too far, that God's uncaring. And we sometimes labor under these lies of the enemy. We receive your grace. We look to you. We live under your banner of love. Every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year. What an incredible, incredible thing. And you give us the privilege of being able to tell other people this incredible news. And as we think a little bit about that this morning, just pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to us, challenge us and encourage us, motivate us and equip us. For Christ's sake, amen. So between Christmas and New Year, Sheena and I got to go to Nanaimo and visit Sarah and Andrew and her grandchildren. Coming back and... On the way to, our bags were a little bit late in the Vancouver airport, and so I thought I'd go and get myself and Sheena a coffee. So I went to Tim Hortons there, and the guy in front of me in the lineup was a little bit grumpy, kind of mistreated the guy behind the counter a little bit, which, you know, holiday times, people are tense and that sort of thing. So I thought I'd cheer this guy up a bit, just my general presence. And so I asked this guy, oh man, I said, hey, you know, you're working holiday, appreciate that. And how you doing? And he says, well, I'm really sick. I got this terrible fever. I just kind of hope I make it through the shift as he's pouring my coffee and getting my muffins. And I'm thinking to myself, what's he doing in public? And I can tell you, he's working just like me. So my advice to you is to stay away. But you know, that's part of the thing with the Lord will get us through this, hopefully. Part of the whole thing about Christmas is celebrating the birth of Christ and the new year. And it's such a big part of it for so many of us, isn't it? It's to get together with family and to just rejoice in that and enjoy that and celebrate in that. And to take some time to talk about what the Lord has done in our lives in the past year and what we hope to be in part of, and what the Lord, we hope and pray, is going to do this next year. And we just sort of get all together because the family is such a great source of joy, isn't it? But you know, family can also be this incredible place of conflict. This place where we can find out that we're going in different directions. This place where we understand that, we've misunderstood each other and so on. And it can be a tough thing, and some adjustments need to be made. Sheena and I, as you know, we just love each other, and God has blessed us with a great relationship. That doesn't mean that there aren't differences that arise. And certainly when we were first married, differences arose quite a bit because people think that English culture and Canadian culture is the same thing. You can ask Sheena and she'll tell you that it's not. I mean, even things like the way in which you do things. In Sheena's family, we've got codes, right? So our family of origin have codes, and you understand them. One of their codes was if you wanted something taken upstairs, then you put that, you know, near the bottom of the steps and the next person up the stairs would take it up and put it away, right? Or if you want something brought downstairs, you put it at the top of the stairs and the next person through would pick it up and carry it down. And that's the way that Sheena's family operated, if you can believe it. My family's a little different. My dad's a tradesman, man, and you put anything near stairs, that's a trip hazard. And so it's like, what is this? And it gets taken upstairs or downstairs, right? It's just that you don't ever see it ever again. And so, you know, as we get married, that I'm thinking I'm such a hero, refraining myself from throwing these things away. And Sheena's wondering what kind of a lazy bum she actually married. Language. The language is different. You know, I remember for the first little bit, we moved back up here after the first year of marriage. And so Sheena was immersed in my family of origin. And my mum and my dad, they called me R. Allen. R. Allen. And, you know, Sheena first kind of took this to be like, he's ours, not yours. He's actually still part of our family, but that's not what it means at all. See, in England, we're like Mennonites. There's only like five names. And so what you have to do, you have to identify the person besides just their name, otherwise you get the wrong guy. And so R. Allen meant from, you know, this is R. Allen. Allen belongs to this family, not the Allen that lives two houses down. And things that, you know, I'd say things like, she'd say, what do you think of this, Allen? And I'd say, oh, that's all right. I mean, how disappointing for a young bride to, that's all right. But she didn't understand that in Liverpool, that's all right. I mean, that's right up there, man. That's like 9 out of 10. And so these things you have to get used to. The goals of our family and where we're going and how we do things and what the order of priorities are and so on. It's different, isn't it? I remember before we married, I'd lay everything out for Sheena because I wanted to, you know, I was worried about what you're getting into. I said, Sheena, you need to understand that I know in your family, you know, they teach you this stuff about how the marriage should be first and look after your husband and wife first and you've got a strong marriage, you have a strong family, blah, blah, blah. That's not how I was raised. In my family, once there's kids, that's it, man. They're the focus. Kids come first. None of this marriage, none of this husband, none of this wife. And I remember just after Andrew was a little couple of years old, I can't remember exactly when, but I remember Sheena looking at me one Sunday and saying, you know, Alan, I never really understood what you meant when you said kids come first in a family. So there's things that we have to adjust and things that we've got to communicate in as well, isn't there? Now, last week, Ryan did an awesome job. If you missed that sermon, go back and listen online. It's just really good. And he did a great job talking about coming into 2017 as individuals. And he said, listen, I'm going to deal with the personal side. And what I want you to do is I want you to understand that God has given us an unbreakable foundation that we can build our lives on. And he gave us four things out of Ephesians. He said, you know that every family has a name from God and the name is loved by God. And he said, the next thing is that God is personally present with his amazing power right there in your life all the time. And he said, you know, we are rooted and established in God's infinite love. And there's no way that you can outrun, outclimb, or outdig God's love. God's love is always there. And then he finished off with number four by saying, God is going to do more than we imagine in and through the church. And I want to pick up where Ryan left off because, you see, it's an important thing to do every once in a while as a family to just kind of pause and to say, who are we and what are we about? What's the language that we use? What's our purposes? Where are we going? How did we do? And just sort of get on the same page again when it comes to things like our language, our direction, our identity, all those things. So 3 or 4 times a year, I do what I call kind of like Family Business Sunday. And it's just a restatement of who we are. What's our unique identity and our unique calling. And the vision of God as he's got this great big family of all of these different congregations right here in Grand Prairie. And each one is marvelous and each one is delightful. But each one has a unique place in the kingdom of God. And it's good to just sit down and say, okay, who are we again? And what's our unique place? What's our unique calling? What's our unique thing that we're about? What's the language that we use? And it's important to remember that so we get on the same page. It's also important for those of you who kind of come and you've been kicking around for a month or two and you kind of wonder, okay, well, what is this place really all about? It's not bad and I see some things, but who are these people and what are they all about? And very often at the time of one of these 3 or 4 times a year, I do this in January and June and September and sometimes again February. And each time there's people place their membership in the church. They say, well, you know, yeah, this is, I can get behind that. Or we don't see them again, which is possible too. So let's just take some family time here today and just remind ourselves of who it is that God has called us to be and what it is that God is calling us to do. One of the best ways of figuring out who people are is to look and see what they have actually done. And so I just want to mention a couple of things of God's movement in and through us in 2016. You know, 2016 for me, it was one of the best years in terms of our sense about missions and looking beyond our borders, not just in borders as a church, but borders as a country as well. You know, Aurora Home is one of the ministries that we support. And it's such an encouragement to me. That ministry which takes women who are trying to get out of the sex trade and the entrapment that they're in and get them off the streets and get them into a safe place and get them sort of lined up to get into a programming that's going to equip them for life. And this grew out of the ministry of a number of the women in this fellowship. And we've been able to support them. And, you know, just before Christmas, we had a lunch for them, you know, because they weren't finishing their year in the black. And you know, I'm just so thankful for you. Because even though many people were away, we still had the lunch. And, you know, over $5,000 was raised in that lunch just for that ministry. I just think it's tremendous, you know. But they're still behind the eight ball a bit, so don't give up on the giving. I was down at the Bible College and I saw the stats. I'm not supposed to tell anybody this, but I don't care because I'm almost done being a trustee. What are they going to do? And you know, I'm just so proud of you that this congregation was the number one supporter as a congregation of this institution that's equipping people to carry the good news of Jesus Christ across Canada and around the world. It's a marvelous thing. It's so good. It's so good. And those of you that are here, you know I could hardly contain myself because we got to send our staff who grew up in this fellowship. I'm going to get worked up here. It's just the cold. And we got to send her to a country which can't be named, because it's a country where, for them, Jesus is just a prophet, not the Son of God. And we got to send her over there and pray for her and support her financially and get behind her and set her on her way and keep praying. I'm so thankful we've got the Peels with us. Just another young couple who have been just an incredible gift. You know, the sign of a healthy church is when you give your best away. It's cold medicine. I'm just so thankful for this family who feel the call of God to go back to Justin's family of origin roots in Portugal, to a continent that has lost the gospel. You guys are 81% now, right? You need another. You guys, let's get them over the hump. Let's get them over the hump. You know the grace and love of God pours out of their pores, each one of them. Let's do it. It's just such a joy to me. It's just such a thrill what God was able to do and is continuing to do on the front of missions. If we keep thinking beyond our borders, last year we brought to a head the whole Operation Unite. We've been working on this for a couple of years, especially Duff and a couple of others. But we were able to raise the money to bring the Sally family over as they escaped from Eritrea. And they've been trapped in a refugee camp for years now. But we've got the money all together and we've got the paperwork in. And we just need to be praying that the government would process that stuff quickly to get these folks over. And Duff he's leading a team. Operation Unite team, and we need people that are going to come on board and help these folks get settled into Canada. You know, you've probably been listening to the CBC, and it talks all about how those private organizations that really can enfold people and help them understand what Canada is all about and how it is to run the systems and all that sort of thing, and how to shovel snow. Those are the people that do well. And so just putting together this team, you saw him give him communion, you know who he is. If you want to in any way be a part of that, just grab him and he'll be able to fill you in on how that goes. Some of the greatest joys this year are all of the stories about people sharing their faith with people at work, with people in their neighborhoods, with people having their friends over and having times where they discuss the Word of God and people praying with people and inviting people to give their hearts and their lives to Jesus Christ that they may be saved. And we had a lot of that stuff that happened last year, and it was just so good to hear those stories. So this is just some of the good stuff that grew out of who we are. But we're into a new year now. And the truth is we minister out of who we are. The expressions of our grace and the expressions of the love of God through us comes out of who we are as a people. And so this is where, if you look in your bulletins there, you'll see this little insert we put in a few years. It's just a shorthand of who it is that we are. And it just talks about the purpose of the Grand Prairie Church of Christ. It's to praise and worship God. You see, one of the things that we understand is that it's so easy to push God out of the center of our lives. It's so easy to push God out of the center of our lives as a family, as individuals. It's easy to push God out of the center of our lives as the church, as weird as it sounds. But it's so easy to get caught up in the mundane things that have happened and important things that happen, that sometimes it's easy to forget that we're here to give glory to God. And that the function of these gatherings together, when we get together as a church on Sunday mornings, the focus is not upon ourselves. We have ministries where the focus is on us. That's what small groups and so on are for. But when we gather together as this body, the focus is on the King of Glory and giving our hearts and our lives to Him. And then the worship of God, that we would be living sacrifices. That in our daily life, when you go to school in the morning, when you go to work in the morning, that everything that you do is an act of worship to God. To praise and worship God and to mature and assist others to mature towards the image of Christ. You see, the gospel is much more than just we've sinned and we've blown it and we can be forgiven. That's part of the gospel. That's an amazing thing of the gospel. It's something that we cling to. It's something that we celebrate. It's an we're reminded and proclaim it every time. All these marvelous things, but the gospel is more than that. Because the good news of Jesus Christ is this, that God is transforming us into His image. That He created men and women in the image of God, but sin has come in and it's broken that and it's marred that. But God says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to work by the power of my Holy Spirit to make you look like Jesus again. To fill you with all that Jesus was full of. I'm going to make you, the book of Philippians says, I'm going to make you like stars shining in the firmament. That the glory of God will be reflected in your life. It's so much bigger and so much more than only being forgiven. It's so much more than that. And then if you look on that paper, you'll see that there's sort of five themes, five parts of our DNA. And the first thing that we say is that we are about worship. And I just kind of hammered on about that already, about God being at the center. And it's got to be our focus. It is the chief end of man, to worship God and enjoy Him forever. That community is so important. It's not just the camaraderie of friendship of people who are just like us and enjoy the same sports that we do. But as a matter of fact, people who are very different from each other, who perhaps normally would never be together. And yet they are bound together by the blood of Christ into a community, into the family of God to achieve His purposes. Embodiment, it's a fancy word and we keep trying to come up with a new one, but we can't come up with anything. But this whole idea is that we are to live out the good news of Jesus. The Bible says to us, let us not love in word alone, but let us love in deed as we live it out. That we live out grace, that we live out kindness, that we live out forgiveness, that we live out truth, that we live out love. Embodying the gospel so that people can look at our lives as individuals and as the church and say, boy, that guy's kind of weird, but kind of weird in a good way. And then our lives give testimony of what the grace and the acceptance and the love and the glory of God is. If you read in the scriptures, you'll see that God has a heart for the poor. From Genesis right on through, those who are pushed to the margins of society, either by their own choices or by circumstances, in the end, it doesn't matter. The problem is, they're on the margins of society. And God says they need to be cared for. They need to be cared for in time and in energy and in love and in food and in shelter and in clothing and above perhaps all, in hope. And so it's one of our main themes as the church that we want to be a benevolent church where we give to those who are on the margins and pull them back into the inside where they can experience the warmth of the fellowship of God Himself. And the last one is evangelism. The sharing of the good news of God. And this is the one that I want to focus on this morning because, and actually for this year, we need to really think about it because when we think about all of our five themes, to be honest with you, evangelism, the sharing of good news, disciple making is perhaps one of our weakest. And yet it should be very central to who we are. I mean, God is so clear on this. I mean, one of the first passages that gets shoved down our throats when we come to Christ, we all know it, is this one in Matthew called the Great Commission, right? Therefore, go and make disciples. Disciples is a religious sounding word. And so, you know, the best word that we have to talk about it is an apprentice. Because an apprentice is somebody that learns under somebody else to master what's going on. And so what God wants us to go and to make disciples, to make apprentices of Jesus Christ, not just to accept his forgiveness, yes, that's the beginning part, but to carry on and to allow the Holy Spirit to turn their entire being into somebody that reflects the glory of God and the personhood of Christ in all that they are and all that they do. But how do you make these disciples? How do you make these apprentices? How does someone even begin the journey on that? Once they've heard about this Jesus, what do they do? Well, he tells us exactly what we need to do. How do you make disciples? Well, you baptize them. You dunk them under the water because the old person is dead, and you bring them up out of the water in this new person that is alive. And he's in the name of the Father and the Son of the Spirit. In other words, that means that they belong to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be baptized in the name of. And then you teach them to obey everything that we've commanded. We teach people to learn to live as Jesus said we should live. Because it's in learning to live as Jesus said, how to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, that the world gets to see this marvelous Savior. And Jesus says, listen, I'm going to be with you to the very end of the age. I don't expect you to do this alone. The task is too mammoth. The circumstances are too difficult. And so I'm going to stay with you. And I'm going to lead you and guide you and empower you so that this good news of Jesus can go throughout the world. You know, there's another passage. I just want to read it to you because it just is so meaningful to me on this whole thing about how it is we make disciples. The Apostle Paul wrote this in the second book in Corinthians, chapter 5. If you've got time this afternoon, read that whole chapter. It's a great chapter. Look what he says. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. This whole thing is that what God is in the business of doing is taking broken relationships and bringing them together. The broken relationship that every single person has with God, because none of us are perfect. That God takes that relationship and he reconciles, he brings back together, he heals. Who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And this is the marvelous part. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Oh, what an amazing thing that the King of the universe, the God and Lord of all, the one who spoke all things into being, he's got this amazing plan to redeem, to buy back, to make whole, to reconcile, to fix, to heal. And he takes this message and he gives it to you and he places it in your hands and he places it into my hands and he places it into our hands and in our mouths and in our hearts. And he says, you now are the guardians of this message. You are the instrument of reconciliation. You are the ones that God is going to use to bring people back to God. In a world that is just blowing apart as nationalism rises and all of these things, that brings nations together, that brings families together, that brings neighborhoods together, that brings your workplace together. God's saying, you have this ministry of reconciliation, and through you, I'm going to get the gospel in those places as you bring people together. And when they're put back together, they say, how did this happen? Then you say, I'll tell you how it happened. You didn't realize this, but this is the work of God in the midst of our company. And he says, you are therefore Christ's ambassadors. You're the one that are being sent sometimes into hostile territory to take the torch of the kingdom of God. And I love this part, as though God were making his appeal through us. Look at this. We implore you on Christ's behalf. The humility of God. I mean, God could just zap everything in this way. But no, God comes and he says, here's how I want you to do this. I don't want you to overpower people. I don't want you to force it. I want you to implore people. To beg people. Can you consider the love of God for your life? Can you just consider it? You can say no. But can you just consider grace and love and kindness? God has made him, that's Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. Why did he do that? So that we could become the righteousness of God. That's the big picture. We're not just people who've been forgiven sin again and again. No, we become the righteousness. We become the holiness. We become the glory of God. It's incredible. It's an incredible gospel. Marvelous thing. And we need to be about the business of stepping up to the plate of fulfilling this calling that God has laid before us. And I know that, lots of times we do, and that there are some things that we've done that we need to celebrate. As I said, we hear stories of people sharing the good news of Jesus with their neighbors and their friends and in their workplaces. And this year we had like 5 baptisms, I suppose. But man, I've got to tell you, we've got a city and a world that doesn't know Jesus, and it needs to be a whole more than that. We've got the POs, as we said, who are going to make disciples, and we need to get them over that hump. Talk to them. They're more than happy to come and have a coffee with you and explain. Let's get them over the hump. We've got Alpha that's happening right now. If you look in the insert, you'll see it explains it. This is just a place to bring people who are curious about the basics of the gospel. And it might even be you, that you've kind of been sitting in church for many years, but it's amazing how many people go through it and they learn things about Jesus that they didn't really realize, even though they've been sitting around here for a few years. And if you're going to be a part of that or bring somebody, then sign up in the foyer. There's a chart there that Scott's left for us to do. It starts tomorrow night, 6:30, Mission Heights site. The next few Sundays, I'm going to be talking about this journey to Jesus. This whole thing about how it is that we can have a bit of a roadmap to help people come to the place where the Holy Spirit can begin to do these work in his lives. You know, the second chapter of Acts is just a marvelous story about that. The Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples and they go out and they begin to preach and they begin to tell the good news that Jesus is the Messiah, and the people, it says, were cut to the heart. In other words, they began to believe, oh, we've killed the Son of God. What are we going to do? How can we be saved? He says, and Peter says this, listen, I'll tell you how to be saved. Here's the plan. Here's the map. First, you need to repent. Then you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and you'll begin to live that life. And so we're going to take the next few Sundays. For any of us that are here and we're just not sure about this Jesus thing and how do I say yes to him and all that stuff, or how do I share him? And we're going to just take a few weeks and talk about, first of all, about how we start down this road. What it means to hear the gospel. Not just the sort of, I don't want to use an offensive word. Not just only the forgiveness part, but the bigger part about becoming the glory of God himself. What it means to believe, to have faith, to put trust in God. What it means to repent. The Bible says you need to confess. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you have eternal life. What does that mean to confess as Lord? Now, what's the whole dean on being baptized? You probably noticed that as it cropped up several times when people coming to faith in Jesus, that baptism is a very, very important part of it. And you know, as a matter of fact, what it is, it's kind of like the marriage ceremony. Like all these other times, you know, you kind of get to know Jesus and date Jesus a little bit, and then you get engaged to Jesus that, you know what, yeah, I do want to follow him. But the marriage ceremony is the baptism, because Peter tells us, this water, even baptism, now saves you. Not the washing away of the filth of flesh. It's the pledge of good conscience towards God. It's the way you say yes. It's the way you do the marriage contract. And so we're gonna talk about that. And then what it means to live in life in the Holy Spirit. It's so easy to forget that the Christian life is life in the Holy Spirit. That it's the Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us and empowers us and gets us through life. And we're going to spend the next few Sundays talking all about that so that he equips us to show other people, and if any are here and they just want a step-by-step guide into how to do it, that's what we're going to spend the next several weeks looking at. Of course, the big thrust for us in evangelism this year is the establishment of the third site. Jason's going to come and share a little bit with us now, a bit of a window into this third site. We've been praying about this for years and talking about it for even longer. And last year we decided that we're going to go ahead, and just before Christmas, we hired Jason to head up that third site, and he's just going to fill us in now a little bit on how well we're at with that.
Boy, I tell you, our big prayer about the gospel spreading is we just pray it spread like the flu. Amen. Just be near somebody and they got it. Isn't that awesome? Well, for those of you who don't know me, yes, I am Jason Wood, one of the many Jasons. And I've been asked to pastor this third site, and I'm very excited about that. and put together a core leadership team to take to the third site. Don't worry, elders, we're only taking 20. So that's the deal. So what's been going on so far? You know, the elders and the staff and we as a church have been praying about this for, I think, since 2009 or whatever. It's just been going on and on and on. The Lord has just laid on our hearts heavy that we should do this third site since that time. And it's a site, not a ministry. I just want to be very specific about this. This is going to be a church site. We're going to be putting up a website soon. And on that website will be all sorts of updates. You can get weekly updates, prayer updates, different things that are happening that the Lord is showing us. And that'll be coming up very soon. But I'd want to talk to you about this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to this evangelistic emphasis that the Lord is really, really laying on us. If any of you know me, you know that is like one of my primary giftings. I didn't know it, but Alan knew it, and all the staff are like, what are you talking about? People I've worked with in the past, I'm so thankful to be a part of this. It's worship, evangelism, discipleship. That's me. And, you know, from starting Bible studies in a mall to you name it, walking down the street and meeting somebody and inviting them to our house for a meal and sharing Jesus with them. And so I'm just thrilled to be a part of this work that God is doing. So what has the Lord been doing? What has he been laying on our hearts? Well, here's a few things. And I like it because the Lord has given us some word pictures. Who here likes word pictures? It's kind of like, you know, we got those kids' books. They've got pictures. I really like those. It's like, oh, now I get it. So here's a few word pictures that the Lord has brought to us mainly through prayer. Here's one of them. That the team going, the third site team going, would be a team, get this, woven together as a basket to carry the lost and the broken. Isn't that cool? That the people going would be woven together as leaders, as a basket to carry the lives of the lost and the broken. Here's another one that came down. That this place would be a place for beginners or new beginnings. This isn't a place for the well-established or, you know, for the people who are used to chewing steak. This is a place for the people who have never experienced Jesus before, never met him, never met his people, maybe heard about him a little bit, but a place to dive in, place of beginnings. The third word, this picture that we kind of got was this Levi house. We're like, what's a Levi house? House of priests? House of pancakes? No, this is not the deal. It's that Levi is the other name for Matthew. Matthew was a hated guy. He was a tax collector. He was a sinner. A house of Levi, a place for sinners to come. Amen? Where's Ryan? He likes that. There you are, right there. Hey? Amen? A place for sinners. A place that sinful people can come and eat together. That's a big, big other thrust for this. Eat together, eat this meal, share life, and lead people to Christ and what it means to journey with him. So here's a bit about the process. Yes, process, because I'm a disciple of Alan Jones, so there's always got to be at least three things. But there's four. The number one thing is prayer. You know, and I will say this, they all start with P, so number one, prayer. Can you say prayer? Prayer. All right. Number one thing, prayer. Everybody that I've met, and even myself, every time they hear about Third Sight, they run up to me and say, okay, Third Sight. Guess what they ask? Where's it going to be? You have felt that way so far? Yeah, I know you have because you've asked me. Where's it going to be? And you're going to find out that is really, and that's a good question. It's an exciting question. We're all excited about it. But really, it is the last thing on the list. It's called place. So it's going to go prayer. Say prayer. People. Program. Place. All right, you got it? All right, I'm done. Anyway, so form follows function are the big words of anybody who builds anything around here. Anybody build houses around here? Yeah, anybody who can build something. And then last time I built something, it was condemned. So, birdhouse, grade 9. Don't come back. So prayer, the first step, I thought the first step was just going to be assembling this team, this leadership core team, but the Lord really stopped me in my tracks, and he said, no, the first thing is prayer, Jay. You need to build this site. It's been built on prayer, so continue on and make sure this sucker, he didn't say sucker, but make sure this thing is based and bathed in prayer. Why, Lord? And then, boom, I start asking the prayer warriors in our congregation. I'm like, what's going on? You know, why would the Lord want that? And this big theme starts to emerge. Unity. Keep the unity. Because we do not want to have any disunity between the sites. And that's been up there in the radar. So we're praying into this. Lord, keep us unified. May this thing be built on what? Prayer. Amen. The first deal. Lord gave us a scripture, John 2:5. You can look it up. You've all got a Bible. But here's the deal. Well, maybe you don't download it. But it was, I got lost. Anyway, so the deal is that Jesus is at this wedding and they run out of wine. All right, they run out of the good stuff. Anyway, his mom says to him, Jesus, they ran out of wine. And he says, Mother, why does this concern me? And she turns to the servants and she says, that's awesome. Do whatever he tells you. And so the servants, they just do whatever he tells them to do. So they go ahead and they fill up these water jars. And this reminds me of our play. And they fill up these water jars. And lo and behold, they fill them up. They take some of the water out that has now been turned to wine. They give it to the master of ceremonies. It's the best wine ever. And one of my mentors challenged me. And he says, so who did the miracle? The servants of the Lord. Who did the miracle? The Lord. What did the servants do? Yeah, they just filled up the water jugs. That's right. So out of prayer, we just need to do whatever the Lord tells us to do. And guess what he's going to do? He'll do the miracle. Amen? That's awesome. So that's the first thing. So the first thing is prayer. Amen. So let's then talk about the people. So there's two parts of this. Number one, we need to figure out the kind of people that need to come to be part of that core team of the third site. So we know that if the emphasis is a very evangelistic emphasis from the Lord, that the people need to be coming, need to have very administrative gifts. No. they need to be very, very strong and have a huge heart and a passion for evangelism, for sharing the good news, seeing people come to the Lord and journey with him. So that's a huge part of it. You've got to have that. Another thing is you've got to be a team player because we're going to be part of a team. We're going to be, you know, getting cozy, the 30, 20 of us, not the 30 of us. So you got to be a team player, not, yeah, I'm out of here or whatever. But so number one, passion for the lost, passion to see people come to Jesus. Number two, a team player. So far, we can honestly say we have 7 confirmed people out of the 20. Isn't that awesome? Give the Lord a praise for that. We've got 7. I'm not very good at math, but that means I think we have somewhere around 13 left. The second part of the people issue is who God is calling us specifically to reach. This is a big deal. You know, what kind of people are we called to reach? You know, it's like if you wanted to, you know, go to Mission Heights, what kind of demographic might you need to be? You might need to be, you know, have a family, a young family, I'd say. If you go over there, it's filled with young families. I just came from there. You know, Scott prayed and they dismissed the kids. And it's not like here, you know, where it's like a quarter of the seats are empty. It's like half. So if you go there, it's going to be a place where there's young families here, professionals, stuff like that. It's very much a place like that. So this new site seems to be the people that the Lord seems to be interested in us reaching are people that have never heard the gospel before. Isn't that exciting? Amen. The unchurched, if you will. Okay, so that's the people. Then we go on to program. Who hates that word? Yeah, everybody's going to put up their hand. But here's the thing, and I was challenged by this. You know, every time we gather, I'll just give you this little thing. Jesus had a bit of a program. When he got together and he prayed with his disciples, that was called a program. And they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And then he had like praying class 101. That was a program. Anytime God's people gather and do something in the name of the Lord, that is a program. Might not like it. Brian's got an awesome thing happening here on Tuesday nights. And it's ball hockey ministry. And I, you know, it's like raising the dead because afterward we're like needing some oxygen. And it's like, poof, 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 poof. And there's miracle work being done there all the time. But honestly, it's a program. It's awesome. It reaches out to lots of people. It's a program. So we need to figure out with the specific people that we're called to reach, what kind of action steps we can take to reach that particular group of people. That's called a program. So prayer, people, program. Awesome. We then, and I say it, can't stress it enough, we then, and only then, start to look at place. Only after we have prayer, people, program down. Once we have the direction on those items, then we begin to look at place. At this point, when we start looking at place, say place, place. So at this point, we start looking at a property or a place that will best suit the needs of those that we're reaching out to. Again, form follows the function. So the place that we look at, regardless of the style of facility it may be, it'll need to mesh with the vision out of prayer, people that we are called to reach, with the programs the Lord has called us to work to reach the lost and broken of the city. So, what I'm asking today, and I thank you for the opportunity to ask this, I'm asking today if you might be one of those people, one of those 13 people that need to come. I'm asking you that question. We've already got a prayer team together, but we need the core team. If you are maybe one of those people, then maybe your life kind of looks like this. Maybe you're the kind of person, actually you need to be the kind of person that thinks of maybe your workplace as your mission field. You know, you go to work not just for your paycheck. And in fact, paycheck's way back here. What you mainly care about is your heart. Your heart burns to see people come to know Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the kind of people that I want to have a conversation with. If you just want to share the gospel, maybe you don't know how, maybe you just burn and you're trying to look for places to connect, but I would like to have a conversation with you if that's the kind of heart you have. I'm also looking for people who might look for opportunities in your neighborhood. Maybe you're already doing it. Maybe you're the person who's already set up the barbecue and invited people over for coffee or whatever it is. But really, it's not, the hospitality thing's just an excuse for you. And it's an excuse for other people to eat. But bottom line is that you invite people over because you want them. You can't help. You're like, man, you're missing the best thing on earth, as Ryan would say. That's what you care about. You cannot stop. You're just compelled. If that is you, then I would like to have a conversation with you. I would love to talk to you. So the way you can reach me is you can reach me here at the church office, or I think it's on the back of the on the bulletins there. There's a website address. I'm on there. I'm on there. Am I on there, Allison? Yeah, I'm on there. Good. It's good to go. But I'd just love to explore that further with you. But honestly, you know, Christina and I are so excited. We can't even tell you. This is me excited. I need my guitar so I can just get the wood chips flying. But we're so excited because this is just who we are. We just long to walk into these places and go to these places where Jesus sends us to share his light that will not be overcome. Amen? Amen. Praise God.
Make this an emphasis of my life, of my prayer, of my speech, of my doing, of my home, of my life group, of this fellowship this year. So we just want to end off by giving us a time to pray and to reflect a little bit. Maybe as Jason was speaking, the Holy Spirit was just sort of tweaking your heart a little bit. That's you, that's you, that's you, that's you, that's you. You need to do this. Or maybe it's not quite that short. Maybe that's me, maybe that's me. Or maybe that part there isn't you, but we still have opportunity to share the good news of Jesus as so many of you do. And so I just want to ask us to pray and decide if part of this, or if not, that the Lord would lay on your heart two or three people in your life, in your sphere of influence, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your whatever, that this year you can love into the kingdom of love. So I'll give you a few minutes to pray. Then I'll close, and then the team will come and close us out, I think. Lord, you're so good to us. We've celebrated that today. The banner over us is love. The incredible power dwelling within us. And you've given us this ministry of reconciliation, as though God were making his appeal through us. I'm staggered by your humility, Lord, creator of the universe. And you use words like appeal. Father, I ask that you would help us to always be aware of the people that you bring into our lives, that you want us to just pour grace and love and truth into and onto. I pray, Father, for those that you're calling to be part of this third site. Join Jason and the prayer team and the core team. Lord, we're doing this out of obedience to you. Because there are people who need to know about Jesus. And Father, for each one of us, you bring people to us, neighbors and friends and workmates and relatives. And sometimes I forget that the best way that we can love these folks is to share in whatever way we can about Jesus. We pray, Father, for this Alpha ministry. Bring the people who will gain from that to us so that we can serve them and teach them and discuss with them and hear their questions and admit our lack of knowledge and our ways that we don't understand how you work lots of times too. But we do understand the cross. We do understand your purpose in our lives. Or if it's, you know, Irene's got these booklets, these reflections that speak to the heart. There's just so many different ways, Lord. Lord, make us ambassadors of reconciliation, making your appeal to all people. As we live in this promise that you will be with us always to the very end of the age. As your Holy Spirit forms us and transforms us and equips us and leads us and guides us and empowers us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.